What's up, wrestling fans? It's the Oreo Monster here, along with Faraz. We're going a little old school this week, back to the way it was for a while there. Mr.
Delgadillo.
Des Delgadillo. I always screw up his name. There's a reason you always say it.
Absolutely.
But he's tied up at the moment.
I think Twitter faces kidnapped him or something. I don't know.
Either Twitter faces kidnapped him or he's too busy making people laugh or something.
Yes, yeah, something.
Probably a combination of the two. But anyway, we're here to talk about the week in wrestling and everything that was, that could have been, that should have been, that is.
That's just TNA.
Oh, TNA, the thing we'll never agree on.
He's like the stepchild that we both kind of, we want it to succeed, but we know it won't.
Yeah, I understand the criticisms.
You're a little bit more patient than we are.
Everyone else is. And a few people I've seen online are starting to come around to what they're doing right now, too. But, you know, I understand some of the criticism still. I get the whole, you know, the way the shows are paced out and whatnot. It's a little lopsided because it was
just
like
a
one
little
match in the first hour. And then the second hour is like three matches almost back to back.
Promo Central. About.
Yeah. But, you know what? At least it's a bunch of, you know, pre-taped and backstage stuff. You don't have to, like, sit there and watch people come out to the ring, like, every single time, you know?
Well, exactly. I've got to watch Bloody Sacrifice. It's in the contract.
But, see, that's the thing that's still kind of throwing me off a little bit. Now that they're doing pay-per-views again.
Why are they doing pay-per-views?
Doing a lot of big matches on TV still.
And well, it's the only way they're going to get people interested. I mean, it's not like the WWE where you've got a deep roster in which you can have throwaway matches.
Right.
And
TV. I get that. But at the same time, what are you going to promote on the pay-per-view if, you know, you're doing some of these matches with short TV time limits, you know, on TV?
Well, they've kind of screwed up Samoa Joe again. Again, they've screwed him over.
Yeah, I don't know if I say they screwed him over, but then again, you've probably seen the spoilers. I haven't.
Well, no, meaning he should be world champion. He should have been world champion more than he has been.
That guy
is so talented, it's unreal.
I'm not disagreeing with you on that, but then by that token, so should somebody like Bobby Roode as well. You know, and
yeah, but he had a long title reign, did Bobby Roode, to be fair.
He did, but he hasn't touched the title since, what, when is that, 2011? When he had that reign?
I don't know. I guess he had a long enough title reign to make it work, though.
Yeah, that's true, but it's,
I mean, it's not
2014.
Like, you know, James Storm hasn't had a title. I'm still mad that they turned him heel.
Who, Storm?
Yeah.
I am too, but I think there's a reason for that. I don't know that Gunner would have been able to be that intense as a heel as Storm is so good at. You know, like, very, very few people can make you hate them on a level that a Robert Roode and a James Storm does.
I get that.
Part of the reason they work so well is their money.
Storm was so ridiculously over, it's unreal.
Yeah, and he's so ridiculously hated, it's unreal.
Well, that's true, too. I'll give you that, but I think he is such a good face.
I don't know that Gunner would have been able to make that work if he was the one that they turned
heel. I guess not.
You know.
And you know what? You know what? Another thing that irritates me? And this might be British bias. They are making Magnus look like such a weak champion.
That and Spud. I'm with you on both counts. You know.
I get the Spud thing. I get why they're doing that, because he has to suck up to Dixie and all that nonsense. Yeah, blah, blah, blah. But
right.
But Magnus is so good.
He reminds me of a weaker version of JBL.
Yeah, but
JBL was champion.
You see, with JBL had the clothesline, so he could kill people legit.
Right. No, I'm not disagreeing with you on that. But he kind of reminds me of JBL the way he was as a heel champion, with the exception of he doesn't even bother try winning if the title's not on the line. You know,
this is it, and you know, at least JBL did something when he was champion. I mean, the last ride match with Taker, he got basically killed, but still won.
Yeah,
somehow, you know. I don't, you know,
like the match with the Wolves this week was a decent match. It could have gotten a little bit more time, maybe. But, you know, it was just, it was so obvious. It's like, as soon as he got hit, like, hooked in the submission hole, he just tapped.
And again, I've got a horrible, and it sounds bad, but they're going to ruin the American Wolves if they're not careful.
Well, they're building them up. I'm pretty sure we're going to get a Wolves bromance, decent title feud.
See, look, they've gone from having great matches with people like the Briscoes to bromance. This is what happens when you go to the big time, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, but you know what? The bromance is actually, they're kind of starting to grow on me a little bit.
Oh, really?
I'm not saying I like them, but you know, they're stepping up to the plate. You know, they're giving them a chance to run, and they're stepping up to the plate.
Now since we're talking TNA, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, we don't get to often talk TNA with Dez around because he hates them. He legit hates them. See, I can at least tolerate them because of the Hardy factor. I have to. I haven't got a choice.
Because of Willow.
But I want to ask you about this.
To make my voice that
this,
high.
This Christy Hemming storyline.
Oh, and Samuel Shaw?
There's a level of discomfort I feel with this storyline that I haven't felt with wrestling in a long, long time. There was a Katie Vick storyline, which was...
It's a level of creepy.
You remember the Tori Wilson,
really
Dawn Marie storyline? With
that?
Al Wilson when he died, you know. Yeah, there was that.
Well, I was also thinking of when Orlando Jordan was in TNA.
With AJ?
He was doing the bisexual gimmick.
I thought you were talking about the thing he had with AJ.
There's that, too. But, yeah.
There's that. Know. And then some stuff that The Undertaker did with Stephanie back in 99.
Like, yeah, but that was Attitude Era. I mean, that was tame compared to what ECW was doing.
Well, you know what I mean? Like, there's levels of discomfort that you feel...
I felt more a level of discomfort with McMahon looking down Stephanie's shirt after she had her boob job.
Yes,
than I did about Undertaker and Stephanie.
And then you had the stuff with the McMahon's Devils when he was like all over Candice, over Candice
and Trish
back in 2001. Yes,
mm-hmm.
Right.
You know, I think that's what they're going for, and I think at least with the Sam Shaw Christy Hemme thing, it's the first time it's just felt legitimately creepy as opposed to just like
fake
right, that's
creepy,
just weird creepy. You know,
yeah. I mean, even the Undertaker DDP thing wasn't as creepy.
Yeah, yeah.
The first part was when he had McMahon doing that voice, and but yeah. Well, once it got down to it, once DDP came in, it lost that level of creepiness because you just want to give DDP a hug.
Self high five, man.
Yes, you just want to give him a hug. He's like, you're not really that creepy. Come on now.
Yeah, I hear you. I mean, like, I'm interested to see how it plays out. I don't see, you know, how what happened with him going into Christie's room and all that is leading to another fight with him and Mr. Anderson.
Now, see,
you know, there's a little bit of a disconnect there.
See now, since when did Mr. Anderson become such a ladies when it was such a hero? This is another thing. What happened here?
You know, it's like, I got how the story kind of started because, you know, he kind of got jealous of Anderson because Anderson was showing Christy pictures of her newborn and all that stuff. And he got jealous and the feud kind of escalated from there, you know. But
making Anderson look like a gentleman is kind of, this is Mr. Anderson.
He's kind of back in form now.
He's, you know? He's looking all right. I mean, I enjoyed the match at Lockdown.
Yeah, the match was good. He's back on his promo game.
Well, absolutely. I mean, anyone who tries to get a man to commit suicide off a cage is, you
that
know,
was pretty entertaining. I'll have to
yeah,
say.
But
you know, I mean, he kind of lost a bit of his edge when he was in Aces and Eights. You know, he wasn't as much as himself. And
well, that's because Bully Ray was dominating that whole storyline.
Right, right.
And as much as we love Bully Ray,
kind of had to be. You know.
Yeah. Exactly. But. Yeah, I don't know. The thing about Kennedy Anderson, whatever it was, he's always been on the edge of being better than he is, but then something happens.
Yeah.
He's always on the cusp of being a great main eventer, but then he ruins it himself. He's got like a self-destruct button, kind of like Hardy did.
There's a lot of wrestlers that have that self-destruct button, though.
And a lot of them have kind of grown up, like, well, obviously we know about Shawn Michaels. He's the one that, oh, you know, automatically comes to mind.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got Hardy, who should be bigger than he is. I know, like, okay, he had the title runs in the WWE. That guy was...
The
straightest face in the world, I'm telling you, this guy in 2007 through 2009 was bigger than John Cena.
Yep. But, you know, it's at the end of the day,
you know, it's longevity, big, and it's how you carry yourself.
Yeah, you know, they don't need to put a title on you, you know.
Exactly. And Cena's at that level now where he doesn't need the WWE title.
Yeah, he doesn't need a title to be in. He's kind of getting that upper echelon where he doesn't have to be in a title match to be in a main event.
Correct. You know? Michaels held the title. The last title he held was in 2002. I mean, world title. Obviously, he had the tag team titles and whatnot, but I mean, talking about the big ones. Since right. He had that title for a month. He lost it and he didn't hold it again.
Yep.
And Triple H hasn't been world champion for what? Five years now.
I'm sorry, man. There's just this. I still haven't gotten over that saturation of Triple H title runs.
Well, you know.
You know, from like 11 through like 15 or whatever it was.
Oof, they came quick, didn't they? Yeah. Quick and fast. He'd lose it and then win it back again.
So, you know, especially that one they did with Orton.
They kind of had to do that because they wanted to eliminate Brock Lesnar from the record books.
Yeah, that still annoyed me, though.
Well, it annoyed a lot of people, but, you know, it worked.
It did the job as far as getting Brock Lesnar off the record books.
But, you know. Back to TNA, because we'll talk about Raw afterwards, because it's WrestleMania season. It's going to dominate the show, probably. Now, where do you think they're going with this whole storyline with Samoa Joe and Abyss and Magnus? And who's going to... Who is going to challenge Magnus?
I'm thinking it might be Eric's young time in the spotlight.
Against Magnus?
Well, it's going to be a fatal four-way because Abyss keeps getting involved. And according to Magnus, Abyss can't be in the ring unless Magnus is in the ring. So they made a triple threat. Eric Young protested, listed his list of credentials, and was able to convince MVP to put him in the match. And now it's a four-way.
He's not going to win.
Well, people are saying it could be his time. I mean, he's
this is Eric Young we're talking about. This guy had the most ridiculous gimmick in the history of life.
I'm not saying that he hasn't, but this guy's also been in some of the most high.
Saw last year's lockdown when Sting gave him that chance.
Not just that, but remember Turning Point when Scott Hall no-showed.
Oh yeah. Oh well. Yes.
He's been put in some pretty big spots. And
what was the group he had? I keep forgetting what they were called. They were good too.
World Elite.
World Elite with and he had that feud with Kevin Nash.
Mm-hmm.
Where he screwed Kevin Nash over, which is a dangerous move because he's a big man.
One of the credentials he listed was being the leader of that group, and you know he's basically held every title in the company, including a Knockouts tag title.
Yes,
except for the world title. You know, so.
Which is amusing.
I honestly would not argue with Eric Young having a time in the spotlight, but they're really going to have to do something to run with it if he picks it up in a four-way. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
I think Joe,
if they're putting Joe in the main event for a second, he's going to have to win it eventually.
I think, if anything, that's going to be sacrifice. When did Magnus? Magnus got it.
At Christmas. Remember AJ?
Right. Yeah, right. So it wasn't a pay-per-view. It was on TV.
No, it was TV. But we haven't had a title change on pay-per-view since Bound for Glory.
Right. So he's had it since December.
Correct.
So yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he drops it at Sacrifice, to be honest with you. And I'm sure if you
it has to be to Joe. It has to be. Books,
you kind of see that Sacrifice has kind of been one of Joe's more successful pay-per-views, at least from what I'm thinking, you know, off the record.
We had that three-way with Daniels and AJ, the second one, not the first one.
Right. There was
was a good match.
No, that was Lockdown. Never mind. I was thinking of the Angle.
He's had matches with Angle at Sacrifice, too.
Yeah.
I think the first one was at Sacrifice, if memory serves, or something. back when they had when they mixed all the titles up and it was all in the wrong order.
Right. So
back
you know,
when you have Final Resolution in January.
Oh, that annoyed me for like 3 years, and they finally changed it. I was like, what the hell took you so long to realize Genesis was in November,
yeah,
and Final Resolution was in January, and that they need to be swapped?
And then you got Turning Point in December. I'm like, what? Shouldn't Turning Point be After Bound for Glory?
It's Genesis, Turning Point, then Final Resolution. And it's like, shouldn't it be Turning Point, Final Resolution, and then Genesis?
Oh, well.
Yeah, finally, like, what was it, like 2007, they finally made the change?
It was later than that. I think it was like 2008.
It could have been. Yeah, somewhere around 07, 08. But, like, that used to annoy me to no end. And I pointed this out to, like, all my friends. They're like, yeah, you know, I never really thought of that.
Neither did I. That's the thing. Until you mentioned it to me that time, I'm like, huh? Oh, yeah. Oh, well.
Yeah, when they did that, it's like, oh, my God, someone's reading my mind or something.
Someone didn't know the meaning of what the pay-per-views were called.
Well, from what I understand, Jarrett's a big Genesis fan, and a lot of the pay-per-view names came from Genesis references, including Genesis.
Yes, the biblical references there.
You know, well, I think he's also a fan of the band Genesis, but
okay.
Names like Against All Odds and stuff like that, I think, are all Genesis references.
Makes sense.
Which is a pay-per-view they haven't done in a few years, Against All Odds.
They stopped doing it after a while.
Yeah.
So we've got Sacrifice coming up. What's my boy Willow doing?
Willow is now engrossed in a feud with EC3 and Rockstar Spud.
Okay, so much for the heel turn then.
So, I'm not quite sure what's going on there.
I'm still
thinking they might go heel. Just when is the question, you know?
Well, not if he's killing EC3 and Rockstar Spud, who I hate.
Yeah, I'm with you. But
I like Rockstar Spud for obvious reasons, but EC3.
Spud's supposed to also, not Spud, I mean, EC3 is supposed to also be involved with Bobby Lashley to some extent, too. So
Boss.
He's going to play back out into this.
I forgot the Boss is back. The Boss.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure what impact he's going to have. It would have made more sense.
His momentum died as soon as he left the WWE, to be fair.
What was that?
His momentum died as soon as he got released.
Yeah, I think he would have done better to re-sign with WWE than TNA. I don't think he really did anything in TNA that re-signing with TNA is going to be any big splash for him.
Well, even the original signing with TNA was like, you've done, right?
He came in with a lot of what's the word I'm looking for?
Name value at the time.
Yeah, name value and expectation and everything, and just kind of never really did much.
That's because, you know? Again, the WWE built him in such a way that guy was a legit superstar for a while.
Yeah.
I mean, the US title run with, and then the feud with Finlay. And ECW then, title. You know, I think people forget he was in that match where McMahon's head got shaved. That was Lashley.
Yep.
And, you know, what screwed him over was the ECW title stuff, but, you know.
Yeah, yeah. That was, like I said, just when you thought McMahon was done pissing on ECW, you went, oops, missed a spot.
McMahon is ECW champion. Well, he's been WWE champion before. I think that was a mistake, though. I don't think that was meant to happen.
I wouldn't be surprised, but the ECW champion clearly was meant to
happen. Oh, that was meant to happen, yeah.
Yeah.
I think someone missed their cue. I think Triple H legit got hurt a little bit, and then didn't kick out.
Yeah, it's happened.
Yeah, it does. Of course it's happened. It's happened. But, you know, it kind of messes up the story. But, yeah, so that's TNA.
Hold on, the knockouts. Where do you stand on the knockouts?
I was waiting for this. I wasn't going to say it. I was waiting for you to say it.
What's going on with the beautiful people?
She's back.
Yeah. Angelina's back. Velvet said she's on board. Madison said she wasn't and got dropped for her troubles.
Well.
And this week they had a match, and Angelina basically told Velvet, you need to pick a side by the time the match's over. And Velvet interfered on Angelina's behalf, allowing her to pick up the victory.
Of course she did. Good old Velvel. holla.
I still think of Velvet Sky and Angelina Love as the beautiful people.
Lacey for a while.
Madison Rain and everybody else kind of joined the group, to be honest.
Nah, I'm just glad Angelina Love has stopped drinking and she doesn't see those apparitions of winter in the mirror. I miss winter for obvious reasons.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Go back and listen to one of our throwback vibes for that story.
She's good, though. I give you that. I wouldn't mind seeing her again.
Miss Katarina Walters? Nikita?
Whatever name she goes by today.
Whatever. No, that's her name. Katarina Walters is what she's going by. I don't know what she's doing now. She's like in the... She's like comes around. She's in the UK. And then she goes to Germany and back again. I'm like, all
right. Right.
Do something.
Well, somebody's got to sign her.
I wish they would. See her back on my TV. Make me happy.
So,
anyway.
So you think this is a setup? Or
yeah, of course it's a setup.
The beautiful people are back together.
There's something going down. There's no way they're going to rehash that storyline all over again. Oh, wait. This is TNA. Never mind.
So you're thinking this is a setup and Velvet's really on Madison's side?
I hope so. Because Velvet is like... Velvet was the face in the whole Saban heel turn. You can't turn her now.
But her and Angelina Love were so good as heels.
Yeah, you wanted to hit them. That was a point, I think. I wanted to hit them.
Girls you wanted to hate.
It's like, wasn't it Lakeel? You wanted to hit him.
Yep. I actually, Lakeel reminded me of the beautiful people. They were trying to be the beautiful.
Just a little
people.
Bit more over the top, though.
Yeah. And that's the thing I liked about it. Like, the way they made that whole beautiful people thing come together so naturally over, like, the course of a month or something. And just, like, slowly turn them heel.
Yep.
You know, that was, you know, but this was also during the heyday when TNA was actually
making their knockouts look good.
WWE.
Yeah, making their knockouts look good.
Making their knockouts look good and all that, you know.
And they had knockouts, pay-per-views and whatnot.
They still do. I don't know anybody buys them anymore.
Yeah, well, no one... Do you really... How many of those one-night-only pay-per-views have you watched?
So, yeah. So you think this is...
Right, exactly. My point proved. Yeah, I'm hoping it's a setup because I don't like Velvet. I want Velvet to stay a face. I like Velvet. Velvet as a face works.
I like Velvet as a face, but I also really liked her as part of the beautiful people.
I know. It's like nostalgia. It's like I always appreciate when DX get back together. It's one of those, but...
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know that they can really redo what they did back then with current management and current booking and the way the shows are being produced today.
You know? Exactly. You kind of done everything you can do with that group. See, at least DX, what they did with DX, and I appreciate it a lot more now than I did back in 2006, they did different things, and they made it a little bit more child-friendly.
Yeah.
Because, obviously, you've got to think about it. These are 40-year-old men at the time when they did this, back in 2006. So they had to, and, you know, Sean being the way Sean is now.
Yeah, Sean can't say half the stuff he said back then.
Of course. Sean was a good straight guy for what Triple H was doing.
Yep.
So, you know, instead of them being overly vulgar and overly, they toned it down. But, you know, people were complaining, oh, yeah, it's not the same as what it was. It wasn't going to be.
Yeah, but it was still entertaining, though. It didn't feel watered down.
That's what I thought. I thought it was hella entertaining. But, you know, well, people said, no, you know, they got voted the worst gimmick of 2000. I'm like, are you for real?
I'm with you, man.
I really enjoyed that second run that they had in 2006 against the McMahons and all that. The Rated RKO feud was good.
Yep. No, that feud was really, really good.
Like, DX versus what do you want? You want Shawn and Triple H to do the things they were doing back in 1998?
That's never going to happen.
Come on now.
Yes.
And at that point, they had kids. So what are they going to do? All that, you know. All that stuff, and what they're going to show their kids when they're old. Oh, yeah, we did this back in when we had you, you know. It's all fine when they're not married and whatnot, but you know, these are both married men now.
Married men with children. You know, it's kind of the same thing with all these indie deathmatch leagues that try to rekindle what ECW did.
Exactly, and the thing about it, just right?
It doesn't work.
You do that, and you're making it less safe.
Yeah. You know, it's like knowing what we know today, you shouldn't be trying to up ECW. You know?
Just go and watch the Benoit documentaries. For heaven's sake. Oh.
Yeah, just go watch the Benoit ending.
Period. Quite. I mean, you know, and then you got to. There's enough shoot interviews out there for with people like Perry Saturn and Just Incredible and all and the like. You just need to listen to what these guys are saying.
New Jack.
Actually, no, don't listen to anything New Jack says. God, I wouldn't trust that man with. No. And even some of the attitude. I mean, look at Jeff Hardy. Look, we go on about Jeff a lot. He doesn't do half the stuff he used to. Thank God.
Thank God for that. We really don't need to see him doing swanton bombs off of anything higher than a ring post.
Yes. Look, and the odd cage is fine. I'll let him. Dangerous. I'll allow him that.
I don't know, man. Because you miss from that height.
Yeah, but I think you got to trust Jeff. Jeff has been doing it for enough time that he's not going to miss.
Yeah, I suppose you have a point there. I mean, you know. But all it takes is that one miss. Same thing with the Shooting Star Press.
Well, that's why Vince watched Evan Bourne do it over and over and over and over and over again.
But,
Evan Bourne. Whatever happened to your career?
Madison Rain got the title back when she returned.
Mm.
I assume this is some amount of compensation for not keeping her on the payroll while she
was pregnant. She was pregnant? Yes.
Yeah.
I mean,
like, look, we're going to cut you, but as soon as you're back in action, we'll put the strap back on you. Considering we took it off of you because it thinks you got pregnant.
I mean, are they still paying? I wonder if they're still paying Taryn Terrell. I'm assuming so.
I haven't heard that she's been released.
Yeah, I hope she comes back soon because she was improving like gangbusters.
She was really, really good.
I still maintain that was one of my matches of the year last year.
Her and Gail Kim at Bound for Glory?
The Slammiversary one.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That was...
It's not often we say that about women's match.
Matches like that.
Exactly. Have you? By the way, did you do your challenge for this week? Have you seen any Saraya Knight promos?
That I have not, sir.
Okay.
I have to admit, I haven't.
Speaking of scary women, I need to
rectify that. I need to rectify that.
Saraya Knight, scary woman.
One last thing. Gunner and Storm.
What do you think?
At some point, about... Storm's got to get a win.
Does he, though?
Unless this is purely to build Gunner up and nothing else.
Well, I'm assuming that's what they're doing here.
It's clearly what they're doing.
They haven't got a legit big guy in there. You see what I'm saying? They haven't got, like, there's no big guy in TNA. There's no, apart from Abyss, obviously, there's no legit big guy that you can get behind.
There's no legit big guy on the face side.
Yeah. They need one. Mm-hmm.
I can see that.
I mean, there's no Matt Morgan anymore. Bless his heart.
The blueprint.
Hmm. Who ruined his career when he should have signed? When he should have re-signed with WWE as soon as that TNA contract ended. But he was stupid and re-signed with TNA.
Well, TNA's made better use of him than WWE ever did.
I reckon the WWE would have made good use of him now because he was more seasoned and whatnot.
I don't know, man. I can understand. I'm not saying I disagree.
How many other big guys are there left in WWE? You got Big Show, you got Taker.
I disagree with you, but look at what they did to him.
but look at what they did with Batista when he was first arrived. The Deacon.
Matt Morgan. Yeah. That's all I got to say about that. Yeah, I don't know, but Batista never really had a bad run, though. I mean, he was Triple H's lackey for a while.
Wasn't Orton?
That was about it.
Wasn't Orton, though?
Yeah, and so was Orton. Yeah. The only person that really wasn't was Flair.
Why do you think that is? He's Ric Flair.
Exactly. So, anyway, WWE.
Yeah, now, we are one week away from WrestleMania season. One week away now from WrestleMania, as of this recording.
Right.
Now,
as of this week's Raw, which is airing tonight.
Which is airing tonight, we are 6 days away from the biggest, possibly the biggest WrestleMania in history thus far.
WrestleMania XXX.
Which all doesn't sound like an... anyway.
This ain't happening in the Attitude Era.
Quite. Now, I'm really enjoying the build to this year's WrestleMania. And I wasn't thinking that until about 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And the WWE made a big call this week. They left Daniel Bryan off the show, and it worked. It worked, because they made Triple H look like such a horrible human being. And it furthered the storyline, because obviously Daniel Bryan got beat down the week before. And right. they played up to that. But not having him this week and using...
They're selling the beat down.
Yeah, and they're selling and not having him there this week and having Triple H degrade him more just adds to it. So you don't need your biggest star there every week. You don't. If you know what you're doing and you leave it in the hands of someone as good as Triple H is on the mic, what's the need for Daniel Bryan to be there? Yeah. Obviously, he'll be there tonight because it's the go-home show.
I'm sure he's got to be there tonight, but, you know, I've said this before. They've done this, especially with Taker, because, you know, they usually don't want to show too much of Taker before WrestleMania.
And same with Lesnar.
You give him a good opponent, and you don't need Taker to help build that feud.
Taker is a one-man entity in himself. There's not much you can say about Taker's work. It speaks for itself. The records are there. All you need is the announcers to hype that. And like you said, with it, and they did it with Edge.
Yeah, Edge was one. Somebody else did it too. Edge is probably the most prominent one, though, because
Michael's basically,
He was in a pretty bad place at the time. So,
Yeah, and they've done it before, and even with certain people, The Rock wasn't there last year, but Cena built it. I mean, not last year. He was there a lot last year. The year before
for the first one.
The first one. So, it can happen. They can do it if you do it right, and they have been doing it right. And it's not often we give WWE praise, but when they do things right, bloody hell, they get it right.
When they do things right, it's off the hook. It's just when they screw up,
it magnifies it. This is, I think now we're seeing where Triple H is taking this direction. The creative side of Triple H is coming through. And there's one thing you can criticize Triple H for, many things, and we did at the beginning of the show, the title runs, blah, blah, blah. Again, I don't think that was all his fault, his doing, by the way. I'm going to put that out there. I don't think that was all Triple H's doing.
That was worthy of being pushed at the time, depending on how you look at that,
Yeah, yeah. You can say a lot, but you can't doubt the man's creativity. That man, he's been a part of the most memorable storylines in history. Some good, granted. Some not good.
Some bad.
Some bad. I'll reference the Katie Vick storyline again. But, he's been a part of some of the... And the Booker T storyline. I didn't agree with that one either, by the way.
Right. I'm waiting on that one.
But he has been a part of some of the best storylines in, like the one with Taker for the Hell in a Cell was brilliant. It was amazing. And going back to the before it got stale, the McMahon Helmsley era was good stuff.
I hated that theme song.
Which one?
The McMahon Helmsley era Triple H entrance theme.
I like that's my favorite one. Ironically,
the electronica one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like all the Motorhead ones better.
You would, though.
Exactly.
I like the electronic ones, cool. Fan,
but, like his theme and the Evolution theme.
I like the Evolution theme.
My two most favorite Evolution songs.
Yeah, I like the Evolution songs. Theme. Yeah. And the King of Kings theme is kind of cool too.
Which one?
The King of Kings.
Yeah, yeah. I just like the game a little bit better, but King of Kings is still good. I didn't really care much for the Drowning Pool remake.
Well, quite. Yeah. Although they had to do that for WrestleMania 17
with their remake. But
no, that wasn't Drowning Pool at WrestleMania 17, was it? It was Motorhead, wasn't it? Was it?
No, that was the Drowning Pool, because Drowning Pool is the one that does it on forcible entry.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Motorhead wasn't on any of the WWE records. So I guess they couldn't sign up Motorhead, so they got Drowning Pool to do it instead. And I don't know that he ever used it other than that one WrestleMania where Drowning Pool played.
Yeah, I don't think he did either. It's always been the Lemmy one.
It was
on
the album, but they never used it on TV.
And he's a Lemmy fan anyway. They're friends, oh, yeah, I think. So
he's a huge Motorhead fan.
They're friends anyway, I think. There's a friendship there. Yeah.
So,
I
wonder what the contractual thing was. I'm sure it's just they couldn't sign Motorhead to do the deal, to do the song on the record. So
yeah, and this is before. Remember, this is before Triple H had as much power as he does now. So.
Yeah, that's true too.
But yeah, saying that this match and the way they've booked it is as it feels like. I don't know if anybody listening to this show has watched WrestleMania 10, when Bret Hart did exactly the same thing Daniel Bryan is doing now.
Yeah,
Bret Hart did double duty at that WrestleMania and won the WWE title.
Yeah.
He had that great match with Owen at the beginning of the show. That was the year that Lex Luger and Bret Hart both won the Royal Rumble, which was stupid. But anyway, Lex Luger didn't win his WWE title match, so Bret Hart did.
Right.
He beat Yokozuna, avenging the defeat from the year before. It feels... And added to it, you've got the tension between Triple H and his Evolution proteges.
Right.
So you've got that, you know, if Triple H wins, then will he beat his proteges? Will he take the title? Because as he said, if they can't get it done, then he will. And, you know, you've got the added element. You know who's work I'm really appreciating right now? Randy Orton. He has stepped up his promo game.
Back in his element.
He has stepped up his promo game immensely over the last few weeks. He has been so good. And I see people going, you know, Randy Orton, the robot, blah, blah, blah. Randy Orton has always done... When Randy Orton's a heel, his promos are so much better. He's not comfortable being the good guy.
Yeah.
Some people are. Some people are good at it. Jeff Hardy's good at it. Cena's good at it. Michaels...
I don't think Cena could be heel.
Well, he can. If you give him the right gimmick.
I don't know how well that would go over, though.
You know, some people are good at it. I don't think Triple H is as comfortable being a face, but that's just unless he's doing DX stuff.
Yeah, and that's just only because DX is so over. Because remember, DX are technically heels.
Well, yeah, when they first started, they were heels.
Yeah, it's just the fact that DX is so over that they come off as faces now.
Well, you know, now, even though they had obviously they watered it down a bit, so you know. All the comedy stuff that automatically makes them faces.
Yeah.
And you can watch it. You can see it with Vince too. He's not as comfortable being a good guy. Yeah, in my opinion.
Another one. Yeah. He's he plays Mr. McMahon well. He doesn't play Vince McMahon very well. If that makes any sense. You know.
So some people can pull it off. I mean, Heyman could never be a good guy.
No.
Heyman could never be a face.
Not in the least. Except on commentary.
Well, even then. Even then, you heard some of the Invasion storyline stuff. JR wanted to hit him.
Yeah, that's true. But when it was just him and JR, when King got all bent out of shape, that his girlfriend got released and decided to quit.
That was all King, wasn't it? That was him. He was getting all. You don't see anybody else leaving because their partner got released.
Actually, didn't Bobby Lashley leave over that?
Well, quite.
Needless to say, neither King or Lashley's with that girl anymore. Go figure.
See? And they see, at least King had the sense to come back.
Well, Lashley decided to do MMA.
And look, how well did that turn out for him?
Yeah. I don't think his study was unsuccessful. I just don't think he broke through.
Well, maybe. I don't know. I mean, his MMA career, he didn't win. He got battered.
That's true.
He didn't win. It's not like Batista who actually won.
Or what's his name? Brock.
Which one? Oh, Brock. Now, see, he's the one that transitioned really well into it. Because he took it seriously. These guys, I think these other guys kind of play around with it. If that makes any sense. I'm not saying they don't put the time in. I'm just saying Brock Lesnar took it serious.
But I think Brock is just that much of a beast, though, that he could not.
Exactly. Now, you know what? Thinking about it, I reckon Undertaker would have been good at it back in the day. Not now, obviously, because he can barely move.
No way, no. He'd walk into an octagon and just get dropped. You know, he's...
But back in the day, I reckon Undertaker would have been really good. Or a boxer. He would have been really good at that stuff.
Yeah.
Because he is a legit fan of that kind of... You know, he loves combat sports.
Yeah, yeah. But he's in no shape to do MMA today.
He's too old anyway. And apparently, you know, you keep hearing things about CM Punk. Again, I think his body's taken too much of a battering now. I don't think he could do it anymore.
I don't know that CM Punk would be interested in doing that, though.
I don't know. Maybe. But getting back to Raw. See, when it's just me and when Dez is here to control us, we don't go on as many tangents. Getting back to Raw, but this whole Daniel Bryan storyline, it's the Yes Movement is one of those things. It's so generic and feels so real that if he doesn't win the title at WrestleMania, they've lost it. They blew it.
I think this might have been what all the screw jobs have been about.
I think so too.
They were trying to save it for WrestleMania.
I agree with you, and it looks that way. And I don't think sometimes I think we forget that Vince is a genius.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, just sometimes, he makes us hate him and what he does so much that we don't see the bigger picture.
Yep.
And it's the same with Triple H.
Man, to make you get so pent up and so angry about just the way...
A storyline and the way things are going. Mm-hmm. And then you got the added diversion of CM Punk walking out.
Yep.
Which, by the way, adds to this whole Daniel Bryan thing, if you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not looking. We're not going to get a 12-hour DVD looking at the conspiracy behind it.
I hope not.
But, you know, you see what I'm saying, right?
Punk's walkout in 2014.
Yeah.
Real or staged.
Exactly. You're not going to get that conspiracy. I don't think there's nothing there. I'm just saying, inadvertently, it's helped the Daniel Bryan storyline.
Yeah.
You know, with us internet wrestling marks. Yeah, I hate that term. Anyway.
All right. What else is going on at WrestleMania? There's more than one match.
There's more than one match, but that's going to be the focus. You know what? Bray Wyatt is a beast. I love Bray Wyatt. I love the gimmick. I love the storyline. I love how they've built it. I love the fact that Cena is playing along so well with it.
Mm-hmm.
Put Cena in the ring with someone who can match him word for word on a mic with a promo. Hopefully. Add to the fact that it's really creepy. You've got gold. There's something there.
Right.
And when a crowd chant "This is awesome" for just a promo, you know you're on to a winner.
Oh yeah, and the that character, man, that he's created with Bray Wyatt is just, it's just, he gets into that role so well.
You know, exactly.
It's like you haven't seen a character like that in wrestling in forever.
You know, that old Southern, and it is, if you think about it, it's not like, you don't get that unless you're kind of really down south. Old school Rays, where they've got their creepy trailers and they say these, you know, they give you these tales.
Chainsaw Massacre-esque.
Quite, yes.
Of eyes, you know, like it's that kind of Southern creepiness to it, in a way.
Yeah, you kind of don't know where he's coming from, whether he's actually that crazy or is so intelligent that we don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those, and I hope the match lives up to
the hype,
the feud, and the way they've built it, because the build has been phenomenal. The Shield have turned face. I don't understand why. I guess because once they do turn on Reigns, you know, Reigns is going to get the big push. And then you're going to have Ambrose the Ambrose. And who's the other guy again? I keep forgetting his name. Rollins.
I'm drawing a blank too.
Rollins. Seth Rollins.
Right.
Seth Ambrose Rollins and Ambrose. Rollins and Ambrose are going to be, they're going to stick to be in the heels, which is fine because Reigns is over.
Right.
So, you know, eventually they're going to turn on him and that's how they're going to build. But, you know, they're going to turn them face first and have the thing with the Outlaws. I don't know why you need to have a match with the Outlaws.
Outlaws are a good, entertaining heel team. You know?
Yeah, they are, but
I don't think they really need the rub from the Outlaws, though, at this point.
That's what I'm saying, but apparently they want, you know, the Outlaws.
It's probably more payday for the Outlaws, and it's something entertaining to get them over his faces, you know.
Well, and you know, what better way, you know. I guess this is another way for Triple H to test how over these guys are, because, you know, Triple H's history with the Outlaws is, well, we all know it. So I guess, you know, he's just seeing how things go. And it's another way to get them on the card, of course.
Yeah, I'm just surprised to see the Outlaws wrestling in WWE with tag titles.
After what they did, after the things they said?
Yeah, you know, after the VKM era?
Exactly. I've heard Billy Gunn say, look, he's sorry, he apologizes. Some of that stuff was a bit much. Like, yeah, just a tad.
Just a little bit.
The amount of money you guys made off of Triple H's DX, I think you should be a little bit more grateful. Just a tad, you know.
Yeah, they were the underdogs looking up to the big dog, trying to cut it down.
Quite. You
know? And the closest thing they ever got
for that year in 98, 99, and then, you know, when they reunited in early 2000, they made so much money just on the DX name alone.
Right.
Be a little bit grateful. Now I want to get your opinions on this. Razor Ramon is in the Hall of Fame. Now, let's get this straight. Razor Ramon is in the Hall of Fame, not Scott Hall.
I honestly think the reason they're doing it that way
is because when they induct the NWO.
Well, twofold. Yeah, that was going to be my next point. Is I think he's going to go in as Scott Hall with the NWO. I think also there's too much bad blood
negativity
around Scott Hall. Yeah.
Yeah. Too much negativity behind the Scott Hall name.
Yeah. And I think that's why they're trying to celebrate what he was as Razor Ramon.
Yeah, but Des made a good point to me on Twitter. Scott Hall, they referenced everything Scott Hall, Razor Ramon did, apart from the stuff he did in wrestling. And what do you know? What do you remember Razor Ramon for? One match. Two matches. Two ladder matches. With the greatest of all time, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and I've heard people say Shawn Michaels went out and had a match with a ladder. I actually went back and watched that match recently again. Scott Hall played his part.
Yeah.
You can't. Shawn is good, and everyone knows I love Shawn. But
Scott Hall showed up and contributed.
Correct. I mean, he took the bumps, and remember, he's a 275-pound man.
Yeah.
He's a big guy.
Yeah, I honestly think they're trying to celebrate Razor Ramon, and they're trying to celebrate the life of Scott Hall without bringing any of the negativity surrounding Scott Hall. And I think when they eventually do the NWO,
yeah, but if you do that, then shouldn't you put Diesel in too?
Yeah, that's the thing. I think that Diesel's got to go in twice then, or Kevin Nash has got to go in twice then too.
Well, exactly, and then you kind of have the same problem with people. Well, I don't think X-Pac will ever go in because he didn't do anything of note anyway.
He'll probably go in as part of
DX
or DX or the NWO.
I don't think he was a relevant member of the NWO to go in with them, but he'll go in as a part of DX.
He just didn't last very long.
So I don't think he won't go in. The NWO guys will be Hogan, who's going to go in for a second time, which is irritating. Hogan, Nash, and Hall. That's it. I don't think you need anybody else.
I don't know, because I think Bischoff should go in.
And Bischoff, but he's TNA still. Oh, no, he's not, is he? Never mind.
He's not on TV. I think he still works with TNA, though.
So, you can't have Bischoff in there, but it's gonna be Nash, Hall, and Hogan then.
This isn't happening next year either, so who knows where Bischoff is going to be then.
Well, quite, but I think the plan is for next year, since they're in LA, in California, they're going to induct The Rock for obvious reasons.
Right.
And obviously the NWO wouldn't want to play second fiddle to The Rock, but
yeah,
it's The Rock. You can't have anybody upstate. He's the most electrifying man in all of entertainment.
When was that? 96?
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if the NWO went in 2016.
2016 on the 20th anniversary?
Like 20th anniversary thing, yeah. And then they can headline the 2016 class.
Yeah. So if they don't go in next year, they will go in.
Yeah. And now Diesel could go in next year with The Rock.
Diesel could, and you know what, people are going to say, oh, it's Kevin Nash, he didn't do he had one of the longest title reigns in WWE history. Yeah. It might not have been a good title reign, but it was there.
Start as Shawn Michaels bodyguard all the way up to, the 7-second match with Bob Backlund,
and then he had an 11-month title reign. He co-headlined WrestleMania. This and I think people are so short-sighted in the way they think, because he's had some negative press because of the things he said. But Kevin Nash
been the one person that's always been on Scott Hall's side.
No matter what. And you know what? Say what you want about Kevin Nash, but Scott Hall has never been easy to deal with. But Kevin Nash has never, ever. And it's the same with Sean.
Yep.
It's the same. Kevin did the same with Sean. Never gave up on them.
Never turned his back on them.
And you can say what you want about, okay, the stuff he's done in wrestling, fine. You can argue he was not being the greatest, fine. But you try doing the stuff he's done on one knee.
That's true. He's had a 20-year wrestling career, 11-month WWE title reign on one knee. His basketball career got cut short due to the knee.
He wasn't going to be a wrestler. He wanted to play basketball. Yeah.
He's 7 foot tall. He would have been, NBA would have snatched him up in 2 seconds.
Quite.
And
he's not stupid. He's one of the few wrestlers that saved money.
Oh, yeah. He's
an intelligent human being. I mean, this guy's wrestling brain. Come on. He's a part of the NWO. Those guys' brains were amazing.
Yeah, I think it was around 07 when he was still in between contracts. And WWE was willing to re-sign him just yet.
Nobody was willing to re-sign him because he couldn't move barely.
What?
He can't move.
Well, that's true. But, I mean, they did eventually sign him to a Legends contract.
And he had that one match with Triple H, which is fine.
Before he did
his last
TNA run, he's just like, his sticking point, he said this in numerous interviews, was, they need to move the decimal point over a few places on the merchandise part of the contract, or I'm not signing it. It's clear to him. It's like, I need to make money off my merch, or I'm not going to be here. You know, and everyone's talking about, well, TNA's saying this and that, and they're trying to disparage your name. He's like, I'm sorry, man. At this point, I got more to lose in the stock market than anything TNA can say about me.
Exactly.
You know,
he's so, not. And because of, you know, the negative press he's got because of the end of WCW, blah, 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 blah. We all know the stories. You know, the NWO with cancers in the dressing room. Yeah, whatever, blah. Doesn't take away from the fact that he's got a brilliant wrestling mind.
Yeah, and that's kind of why you had the book towards the end of WCW, you know.
Exactly. Okay, you can criticize him for the Goldberg ending.
Yeah, that, the Goldberg ending, the giant stuff, you know, there's some criticism there.
But, you know, not everyone's going to get everything right.
Yeah.
So,
unfortunately, they did have creative control, and they kind of all tried to take advantage of that. And
they did.
That's why WCW was the mess towards the end that it was.
And that's why Diesel and Shawn and the Click worked in the WWE, because they had Vince to say no.
Mm-hmm.
No. Obviously, they got their way majority of the time, and there were certain elements where they didn't get their way. Like, for example, if you watch the match between Shawn and Diesel at WrestleMania 11... Vince told Diesel to kick out a switch in music at one. And Shawn knew that that wasn't going to work because he's been kicking him for the last 3-4 weeks and knocking him out. So if he kicks out at one, the fans are not going to believe it and they're going to boo him out the building.
Mm-hmm.
But Vince was adamant. So ultimately, and no matter what anybody says, they always eventually did what Vince wanted. They might have argued and fought with him. But if Vince said, you're going to do it this way, you're going to do it this way.
Or else.
You can end up where Triple H was in 1996, doing hog pen matches with Henry Godwin. Anyway, back to...
We've gone down history road again.
Yeah, sorry.
We should probably wrap this up and get out of here.
We've got to talk about one more match. The streak, Steve. We've got to talk about the streak.
The streak.
Mr. Brock Lesnar.
The streak is not going to be broken. Enough said. Moving on.
What?
I said the streak is not going to be broken. Enough said.
Even if it is Brock Lesnar, he's not going to break the streak.
He's not breaking the streak. It's going to be a hell of a match.
Of course it is. Now, I'm hoping that Lesnar's been sensible and gone to do what everybody else has done for the last few years and gone to the Undertaker's gym and worked on the match with him. Mm-hmm. Don't be stupid. I know you've got dates and whatnot, but for once in your life, stop being stubborn. You could have a classic.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that that's one thing, another reason why I respect Taker so much, that he takes pride in these matches at WrestleMania. That's why he's done what he's been doing. That's why the matches with Michaels were so good. The matches with Triple H were the match with CM Punk was so good.
Yep.
Because they've worked on them for months, a good month in advance. They know what's going to happen, they know when to do what.
They're very well paced out.
They are. And, okay, Taker's going to do his moves. You're going to get him to do his 5 moves of doom, whatever you want to call them. But that's a Taker match.
Triangle.
Yeah. And Taker's so good that there aren't many people you trust to do a pile driver. But Taker does it every year. A couple of times. In one match.
He's no... What's that guy's name? D'Lo Brown?
Oh, Jesus. He's no Owen Hart. Nearly killed Stone Cold.
That too, yeah.
So yeah, you know, you got all this stuff. This is WrestleMania season. This is our Super Bowl this week.
Mania 30, man.
Let's go
NOLA.
Yeah. This is, and you got Hogan, you know, doing what Hogan does. He's going to be hosting.
Can't even hide your displeasure.
Mm. It was an over-the-top rope battle royal. Mm. Mm. Can you believe we're at WrestleMania 30? Wow!
It's hard to believe we're at number 30, man.
I mean, it feels like only yesterday we were at 20. It feels, like I said, it just feels like it was only yesterday that we were at 20. Where'd the time go?
I remember that. 20 was MSG, right?
Yeah, that was a Benoit one.
Yeah. Yep. Benoit Guerrero.
And it seems like only yesterday that we had the 25 with Michaels and Taker, the first one. Oh.
In both their backyards, pretty much.
Yeah, in Houston, wasn't it?
Yep, Houston.
Yes, because everybody, Undertaker is not from Death Valley, to contrary belief. He's actually from Houston.
And Michaels is a couple hours away in San Antonio.
So. San Antonio.
Yeah.
He'll be at WrestleMania. You can't have WrestleMania without Mr. WrestleMania.
I'm sure he'll be there in some capacity.
Exactly. But yeah, so make sure you watch all that stuff. You got the Hall of Fame on Saturday on the network, which will be interesting.
Live, unedited.
Absolutely. I hope they give them time. Like, don't time them out. Let them go.
There's no reason to time it, because it's not going to be TV, you know?
Exactly. If you're going to edit it for USA, then do what you need to do afterwards. But for the live show, let them go.
Yeah.
Is
it still going to be on USA, or is that not determined yet?
No, they'll be on USA. Yeah. The 1 hour usual clip show.
Gotcha.
We've got some good names this year. Like we said, Razor Ramon, Lita, who's going to be inducted by Trish, I think. I think that's been confirmed.
That's what it sounds like, yep.
Which is interesting, actually.
Her last match with Lita.
Which is interesting, because I reckon if the Hardys were under contract to the WWE, it would be one of them. I think Walter's under that bridge. I think they'd do it.
You'd think the Hardys would do it after everything her and Jeff went through.
Matt, you mean?
Was it Matt? I thought it was her and Jeff that were together.
No, it's Matt.
Oh, that's right. You're right. It...
Jeff has had a long time girlfriend. Jeff. Don't start that rumor.
I'm sorry. It was Matt. That it was Matt, yes.
I think they would. I think Walter's sufficiently... I think they're both in different places, and they're like, Matt's a married man now.
Right, right.
You know, and I've seen them tweet each other. I've even seen Matt tweet Edge. So, you know.
Right.
Water under that bridge. And you got... It was Team Extreme Trish, is what she's known for.
Trish is
don't you
a
think?
Good choice. Was that?
I think Team Extreme is what she's known for, no?
That's true, too.
I mean, yes, she had those single, and you know, she main evented Raw, which is rare for a woman.
She made her own name by the time she retired, though.
She did, but I think Team Extreme is what she's going to be fondly known for. I mean, those three were over.
Singles run on her own where she was over as well.
Yeah, and I'm not denying that. I'm not denying that, but I think Team Extreme is just one of those things that happened.
Yeah.
And is what she's going to be remembered. That's what I'm going to remember her for a lot. I love her singles run. I'm not going to lie. I mean, some of the matches we had China and Trish.
Christian only for Edge and Christian, though.
Huh?
You know. And so that's like saying people are only going to remember Christian for Edge and Christian.
They are, though. Don't you think?
I think he's done.
Come on, don't deny it.
You know. He didn't have the opportunities Edge have, let's be honest, but.
Well, Edge is more dedicated.
I think he's done sufficiently well.
In my opinion, Edge has been more dedicated to the business than Christian has. But that's beside the point. There you go. I just gave Edge some praise. There you go. Record it. Clip it.
Edge?
Clip it. Clip that clip and then use it.
On that note, we should probably get out of here.
I need to do a few plugs first.
Yes, let's get the plugs in.
Dez and I will be doing a WrestleMania preview on the Friday. So that'll be out 2 days before, so you can digest and get ready for WrestleMania. We'll be talking about everything that's happening at WrestleCon. So that's me and Dez on Friday. We'll be back for Culture My Pop, I'm pretty sure, on Saturday. And Dez and I will be doing the WrestleMania review show on the Monday morning. Thank God, because I can sleep after the show. If anybody knows, listen to last year's WrestleMania review show. I was gone. Dez and I will be back for that. I'm sure you can find anything Dez is doing on PW Ponderings, or just look at the Keep an Eye on the website. Go and read his blogs. They're quite funny.
Yeah, his blogs are very entertaining, I must say. I need to hire him to ghostwrite some blogs for me.
His blogs are very funny, considering he uses a lot of my lines. And yeah. Anyway, that's all right. Creative license and all that.
You should charge him a joke writer fee.
I should. But it's fine. Yeah, and I think that's about it for this week.
Yeah, not a whole lot much else happening this week. WrestleMania is next week. Are there any guests on Raw tonight?
Not on Raw. We had Scooby-Doo last week. If you didn't cheer for Scooby-Doo, then you're evil human being. You have no soul. It's Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, it's Scooby-Dooby-Doo.
Yeah, absolutely. Just meddling kids. Anyway.
Anyway, we are out of here. You can follow us on Twitter at Des Delgadillo. You want to spell that for the people?
At Des Delgadillo, DesDelgadillo. IWLO. The hell? Delgadillo. There's Steve at MonkeyBushy69. If you don't know how to spell that, you're an idiot.
Go back
and
to
then kindergarten. And then there's me at the Wisp. With an A, not an E. Yeah. Actually, you should follow Steve. Some of the conversations he has with people is quite funny.
That I have with people?
Yes.
I wasn't aware, but thanks, sir.
There's one conversation I'm thinking of particular, but we can't talk about that on air.
With a certain person.
With a certain mouse.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. But,
yeah, man. So follow us on Twitter, and we'll catch you next time.
Oh, you need to subscribe us on iTunes and all that.
Oh, yes. Yeah, subscribe on iTunes. You can find us there. Leave us a review as well. Let us know what you think. Let us know what you think we can include in the show, what you'd like to hear, et cetera, et cetera. And, yeah. And you can drop Des a line, Des at thingsdessays.net as well, if you want to pass some comments along that way. Anyway, yeah. Catch us next week. Until then, Faraz has got two words for you.
Piss off.